We're all in uncharted territory looking for ways to support our communities. At Dell Technologies, we're making sure small businesses have the right tech solutions. Dell Technologies advisors are here for you, from helping small businesses stay connected and productive while working remotely with Windows 10 and Microsoft Teams, to rapidly deploying remote work solutions that limit upfront costs with Dell Financial Services. We're standing by you every step of the way. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Good Tuesday, everybody. Glad you're with us. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio and ESPN 2, on Sirius XM Channel 80 and your smart speakers. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All phone guests will join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Mike Golic, Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo here with you. Dare we say it? Dare we speak it into existence? Is baseball actually going to try and figure this thing out? Because they have been so baseball-y up until yesterday when it finally, like, okay, somebody move.
Well, I think what we're learning is that they may screw it up so much that we only get 48 games and then some sort of, you know, a grievance by the union. But, you know, at the end of the day, people won't care about all the minutiae underneath it. They'll say, oh, there's going to be baseball, but the possibility of just 48 games. So it seems like there's going to be baseball, but can they figure it out to the point where there'll be more games, at least 30-some more games, and maybe an expanded playoffs to look a little more like a regular season would be?
Yeah, and I look at this now, after all we've been through with baseball and really every sport, the one thing that's always kind of been clear is we just need it back. And I really think at this point, and I could be wrong on this one and people could completely disagree, but what that sport looks like overall, to me, it seems so secondary at this point. It's just get it back in whatever form is most likely, is most able to work for you at the time period, and I'll figure it out from there. See, the NBA that basically agreed to it almost sight unseen in a lot of ways for certain players in certain aspects of this as they wait for the protocol to be rolled out and all this. For Major League Baseball, just get it back. How it looks is going to be the thing that matters to the people internally, but I feel like externally, it's just play ball. However much we get, it's however much we get.
So here was the latest thing that happened yesterday. According to Carl Ravitch, the Major League Baseball has made a new proposal to the Players Association, 76-game season with a 75% prorated salary, and then playoff pool money. And something that some people, I think, is very significant is the idea of no draft pick compensation for signing a player. We've heard and seen a lot of players, why haven't this guy signed yet? Because they're waiting till after the day, because they sign him after a certain date. Then they don't have to give that draft compensation.
Exactly.
And
that
frees up free agency a little more. But listen, we can talk about a million things, but it's always coming down to the money. Because it's a 76-game season, but not a prorated salary at 100%. But 75% of your prorated salary for that 76 games. I'm sure the players are saying, if I'm playing 76 games, I want 100% of my prorated salary, what it would be over playing one game 76 times.
Here's what I'm not going to do is the simple math, because I've done enough of it in these
you
proposals.
You have.
Okay? I'm tired of it. I'm tired of all the math. Basically, what baseball did is they threw another $200 million more into this, basically for the postseason. And that's something the players are going to say, well, because everybody is concerned about a second round of the coronavirus hitting and maybe knocking away the postseason, then the players wouldn't get that money. So basically the original offer, this is what the players are looking at from baseball, was 82 games played and a player's salary of a little over $1 billion with $200 million in playoffs. This offer is 76 games with a little under $1 billion in salary, but $443 million if the playoffs are played. So you're kind of rolling the dice if you're the player saying, okay, if you get to the postseason, there's going to be more money there available. If there is no postseason, if it gets wiped out, then there's not.
Yeah.
So, I mean, again, we're moving the money around. We're sliding the money again, and I'm not doing my simple math to do this anymore. Hopefully it gets figured out.
Well, and I think what it's basically boiled down to is this. The owners have settled in on an amount of money they feel comfortable paying out overall.
Right.
Whatever that looks like, however many games that takes, and whatever the postseason format looks like, can be up to the players on this one. And how many other things in there do you get? The draft pick compensation, is that something that's enough of a win, especially we know with the larger scope of what's to come after this season?
Next season when they have to do a CBA.
Is that enough that matters to you to get this done in that regard? Is the potential for expanded playoffs and more teams to be able to be involved in that enough incentive to you, incentive for you in there? Some of the things that they've talked about with at-risk players and their ability to opt out. Now, what is defined as at-risk seems loose at best right now in the way that it was described in here in a lot of ways, but their ability to opt out, still collect service time, still collect, you know, not lose any money in that situation, is that valuable enough to them since health and safety has been such a thing? So it seems to be the amount of money is more or less settled on, with some wiggle room, obviously, for specifics. It's, does everything else, those sweeteners, matter enough to you as the MLBPA to go forward with one of these?
Well, that's the crux here, right? Because MLBPA Executive Director Tony Clark told our Carl Ravitch that he's waiting to get a consensus from the players on a counteroffer. And if they don't have a consensus on a counteroffer, or if the MLB owners aren't interested in a counteroffer, our Jeff Passan basically says, fine, you're going to get this, and here's what it is.
Words from a high-ranking official today that were uttered to me, there will be baseball. If it happens, though, in the absence of a deal between the sides, it could be in the form of a 48-game season, which MLB has the ability to implement without the consent of the players. At that point, the players would just show up, play the game, file a grievance for the fact that MLB did not play a full season, and this thing would be fought out behind closed doors.
So again, we can, it sounds to me like Tony Clark and the Players Association are going to try and see if there's any more wiggle room by making some sort of a counteroffer, and see how hard and fast baseball is in either doing the 76 games with 75% prorated salary, or just shove the 48-game schedule in their face and say, we'll do it. Here's what's playing out, and you want to sue us afterwards? Fine, we'll figure that out later. Right? That's sort of the way this plays out.
Yeah, and the super interesting part of that is, so if the 48-game option came up, it would be the $1.03 billion in salary with no playoff money in here.
Right.
Again, the original offer, 82 games, $1.03 billion in salary, and $200 million if playoffs were played. So you'd be playing almost half the amount of games and making roughly the same amount of money, obviously sans the playoff money, which wouldn't be expanded playoffs at that point, so it wouldn't include everyone to begin with and all of that. So it's one of those things that it sounds like that would be the ugliest option, because again, a grievance, the idea of the Major League Baseball Players Association and Major League Baseball doing anything behind closed doors at this point is laughable.
Right.
Like, that we even think that is remotely possible is hilarious.
I think their version of a closed door is either a screen door or a door that's slightly ajar, and we can just pull it back and see everything that's going on.
Yeah, you know we can hear you in there, right?
All right, I did some simple math.
Oh, God. Did you? Well, you said you weren't going to do this, and then you did it anyway.
This man doesn't know how to quit.
So 76 games, if a player makes $1 million, 76 games fully prorated is $469,000. Okay? If you went down to the 48 games and they played and that was prorated, for $1 million player, be $296,000. And if you went the 75% prorated at 76 games, it'd be $351,000. So it means nothing. Thanks.
Yeah, so you really just couldn't stop yourself from doing that physically.
I wanted to see the difference of what, $170,000 to $1 million player from 76 games prorated to 48 games prorated. And then the 75% obviously is somewhere in the middle. I knew basically where the number is going to be. I had to do it. I had to try it. But I guess the point of it is I just did that, and I'm not $1 million player. I'm not a $500,000 player. I'm not a $10 million player. But how many players are doing what I just did?
I'm sure a lot of them.
That's the point. So they're doing that. And are they being, what people are saying, are you being a little closed-minded by just doing that? What am I making right now instead of looking at the bigger picture of this thing? Because if I'm doing this with my calculator, or let me just say, make me sound smart, doing it in my head, you know, all the players are doing it as well to see what the different options are of the money they're going to make.
What I'm fascinated about, and baseball is so different than almost any other sport in this way. Let's say it's a 70-game schedule or a 48-game schedule. What happens if someone hits 400?
Well, yeah.
What happens if someone hits
400? Why are you going down that road? It's not going to count. You know it's not going to count.
I mean.
But it's not. It's not
going to
count.
It's not going to.
Let's not throw that tangent.
I mean, I find it fascinating because baseball is so driven by the numbers more than any other sport.
When we discuss that more, make sure you let us know, and Mike and I are going to take that day off.
Okay.
Well, I want to do that when the deal's done and all this, because again, like all of those to me are actually kind of fun conversations about how we balance all these plates. When we get baseball back, the problem is that the many guys that my dad just talked about are doing that with their salary, because that $1 million mark is significant, because I think we said something like 60 or 65% of the league makes $1 million or less in all of that. So the meat of you, as we always talk about when it comes to negotiations, it's the meat of your constituency is making that amount of money, trying to maximize that amount of money, because the long-term thought process isn't in the cards for everyone. Even in baseball, where the careers probably skew a little bit longer than most other very violent pro sports.
Yeah.
In this one, you're still thinking about, all right, what are my short-term games? Well, I have the opportunity to make money.
And that's the other thing. There will be players that decide it just won't be worth it, because especially if they're going to be a free agent next season, why would I risk in a shortened season throwing my shoulder out or blowing out my elbow?
And if they're not a high-risk person and they don't think it's worth it, well, we can tell you how much it's going to cost them as well. From that
math,
how about that?
Coming up, the NBA season, will actually start a little over 7 weeks from now, and now we know what happens when a player does test positive for the coronavirus. We'll get to that after this.
Is your money not sure what to do with itself right now? At Ally, they'll help it save for the future with their smart savings tools. Bucket your money for the things that matter most. Analyze your spending and save automatically. All on top of a competitive rate. For all things money, you deserve an Ally. Visit ally.com/savings for more info. Ally, do it right. Ally Bank, member FDIC.
GEICO has the insurance industry leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
I think for players, you know, there's a lot of questions about getting back into market, getting back to practice with their teams.
Just wait until next week when the NBA unveils what they're calling the protocol.
One of the big issues that they're tackling next is what happens to players with underlying conditions.
They still don't want the players to have that contact with each other, with their coaches and staff.
It's going to be hard, obviously, to maintain any kind of social distance.
Golic and Wingo with you, ESPN Radio, ESPN2. Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo here. We're still trying to figure out whether or not baseball is going to actually happen.
Real quick, what I said before the last break, Mike, you mentioned that high-risk individuals can opt out of the season and still get their salaries and service time, according to our Jeff Pass. And again, that gray area of high risk, how do you decide that? Because if you're not considered high risk, and Trey, they do is what you said, if you don't feel it's worth it, well, I think most are going to feel, because under this plan, it says if you're not at high risk and you opt out, you would neither get your salary nor service time. So it wouldn't really behoove you to be sitting out. Now, certainly anything can be negotiated. But that's basically what's there right now.
I'm here for any time Mike Golic uses the word behoove.
How about that?
I want to be 100% clear about that.
And you know what? I'm sorry I jumped the gun. I may be more interested if somebody at 76 games is hitting like 408.
Right?
What do you do?
I mean,
they're not going to get it. We know, but what a fun conversation.
Played a season. Yeah. Hit 400 in a season. Sure, some people would be very upset about that. But that's the beauty of baseball, is all those kind of things are interesting. So baseball is trying to figure out whether or not it's actually going to get it done. We'll see if there's any counteroffer and there any more movement by Major League Baseball. But we know that the NBA is going to resume. All right. Next month, they'll start training camps. And the next month, they'll head to Disney World, and we will play this thing out one way or the other. And there's a couple of things that are very interesting in the way the NBA is doing this. First and foremost, let's weigh in on Woj, our NBA insider, Adrian Wojnarowski, basically saying, what are not the restrictions for rosters and transactions in a very fluid situation. Let's listen to Woj on that first.
The league's going to have a few mechanisms here for teams to add players before they go to training camp in Orlando, something they'll call a transaction window for about a week at the end of this month, with available roster spots to sign, you know, players who are free agents, those who were in the G League. And then once play gets started, at least up until the playoffs start, if you have a player test positive for COVID or a serious injury, you'll be able to replace that player.
So basically what he's saying there is that unlike the, you know, the strict roster limitations that we have in a regular NBA season, there's going to be some flexibility because we're in a weird time. And that makes all the sense in the world.
It does, but Woj, that was a longer bite. Woj thought that most teams would probably just stay with. Oh, you have
yeah,
that?
Yeah, we
okay.
have that.
All right, go ahead.
You know, you talk to teams about in the event a player does test positive for COVID, it's going to be at least a 7-day quarantine for that player, perhaps even as many as 10 to 14. But chances are teams will try to get that player back in the lineup if their season is still going, versus flying somebody in who's probably a marginal player, waiting for him to quarantine, and then putting him on the court when he hasn't been practicing anywhere. I think you'll see most teams, if players do test positive, is to hope they can wait it out and then reintroduce them back into the team.
I mean, that's going to be all dependent on where you are, right?
And who the player is.
Yeah, who the player is, what yeah. you're fighting for, you know, where you are to try to get a spot to the playoffs or in the playoffs. But so that'll be some interesting decisions that have to be made by these teams.
Yeah, and I know that's probably going to sound a little callous to people right now as it relates to the right. virus. But unfortunately, once we get back to sports, the nature of sports kind of takes over,
yes.
and the goal for everyone is going to be to finish the season as best they can to try and still go out there and win and accomplish all these things. And so those roster transactions, as we've mentioned, it's kind of a clunky comparison, but if someone were to contract the virus, it would affect the team going forward in the playoffs, and we talked about it. There wouldn't be an asterisk because we've seen injuries happen down the stretch of seasons, and unfortunately it would sort of fall into that category, knowing that obviously the disease itself has the potential to carry a little more weight.
Right. I mean, we've said it a bunch of times. It happened last season in the finals. The question is, obviously this is a very unique situation on a lot of levels, and what I do appreciate about the NBA is I think they're being as flexible as they can be based on the situation that we find ourselves in.
Well, yeah, you have to try and think of all possible scenarios, which has got to be hard to do because you got to think there's something out there that maybe hasn't been thought of that's going to rear its ugly head at some point, maybe, maybe not, because that's what you have to go through. You have to play every scenario through for every team to give them all a fair shot. So, well, again, we're just glad they have a plan, and this is what we're talking about, not the fact to try and get them back on the court like baseball to get them back on the field. We do know San Antonio, which was one of the last teams to go down to Florida anyway,
right?
They're not going to do anything anyway. LaMarcus Aldridge is out for the rest of the year now. He had that shoulder surgery, so he won't be back. So we can – anybody who, you know, kind of wanted to go the long shot bet on them in Vegas, forget it.
Yeah, that one's not.
That was not going to happen for you.
That's not helping.
It's going to be a tough one right there. So that'll be the interesting part is now as we get back and closer to all the concrete elements of this plan, who actually is going to be in the best position coming right. off of this? How we gauge all of that, because it's such a wild card predicting what these teams are going to look like coming off of hiatus. But the easiest place to start is what are the health updates on anyone who's right. dealing with anything nagging down the stretch of the season or anything that had been, you know, potentially mulled as a surgical option like this.
Shouldn't have anything nagging right now. Anything minor shouldn't be nagging anymore, right?
Right.
You had plenty of time to get the nag out.
We yes. have D-nag. Yes. There's no question. The question then becomes is can the chemistry that some team – I mean, like the Lakers were peaking.
Yeah.
They were peaking when this thing happened. And are they going to be able to find that chemistry again? Because, the Bucks have been peaking all season long. Will the Lakers be able to find that sort of rhythm that they were in? That's going to be the most interesting part of this thing going forward. So that's what we have in the NBA. Coming up next, we've waited to hear from one person in college football, and we finally did, and what he said matters, and how he said it also matters. We'll get to all of that after this.
Is your money not sure what to do with itself right now? At Ally, they'll help it save for the future with their smart savings tools. Bucket your money for the things that matter most. Analyze your spending and save automatically. All on top of a competitive rate. For all things money, you deserve an Ally. Visit ally.com/savings for more info. Ally, do it right. Ally Bank, member FDIC.
Napa Know How.
Get all the quality parts you need at your locally owned Napa. Because right now, when you order from Napa online, you can pick up curbside at your local store in just 30 minutes. Or get your order delivered direct to your door with free one-day shipping on over 160,000 quality parts when you spend $50 or more. Quality parts delivered quickly and safely. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating stores, standard ground shipping and exclusions apply.
Golic and Wingo with you, ESPN Radio, ESPN2. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Our phone guest join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo here with you. So, got a lot to talk about here because one person a lot of people have been waiting to hear from, especially in college football with everything that's going on across the country, is the most prominent voice right now in college football, right? It was Nick Saban, but I think at all point we can understand it's probably Dabo Swinney with the things he's done at Clemson over the last few years, and a perennial in the playoffs, perennial in the championship game, and winning several titles at the expense of Nick Saban in Alabama. And the juxtaposition was his young 21-year-old quarterback, when all of this first went down and the killing of George Floyd and the protests across the country, put out an incredibly thoughtful and really well put together statement for a young man, and he was leading the charge. And then Dabo responded somewhat. And then there was a story that came out that in 2017, one of his coaches, assistant coaches, Danny Perriman, used a racial slur, the N-word, in a back and forth with a player. And the story came out. And then yesterday, Dabo put together, was it, Junior, a 14-minute video?
A 14-minute long video response to all of this.
A 14-minute long video response.
Which I somehow managed to watch all of.
There you go.
And I respect you for it. And so all of this and what he said in that is time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. First of all, Dabo specifically wanted to address the incident that involved the assistant coach and a player and the use of the racial slur. And in Dabo's mind, he wanted to make it clear what it was and what it wasn't.
I would fire a coach immediately if he called a player an N-word. No questions asked. That did not happen. Absolutely did not happen. That has not happened. A story broke this week, and the story was not in context. But what happened was I didn't know anything about it. It was a coach and his player, Coach Pierman and DJ, off doing a drill in a part of the field. Wasn't in front of the whole team or anything like that. And Coach Pierman was correcting DJ. He didn't do the right thing. And I think DJ or another player was talking to DJ, or DJ was yelling at the player. And DJ, you know, said something he probably shouldn't have said. And he said, you know, I blocked the wrong effing N-word. And Coach Pierman, you know, thought he was saying it to him, and he's mad, and he reacted, and he basically, in correcting him, repeated the phrase. And he said, we don't say we blocked the wrong effing N-word. And he repeated it. And he shouldn't have done that. There's no excuse for even saying that. It doesn't matter what the context is. But there is a big difference. He did not call someone an N-word.
So,
To me, there's a difference, but they're both wrong.
Correct.
I mean, so it's just a matter
of. And Dabo said that.
And Dabo did say that, of calling somebody that and repeating. It was DJ Greenlee, was a tight end. He kept referring to DJ, was the player in question here. You don't even repeat the word. I mean, you don't. You don't, as a white person, you don't say the word, at all, even in repeating it here. But I do see what Dabo is trying to explain. He didn't call him that. He repeated something saying, we don't say that, and repeated the phrase. So both wrongs to the degree that you take it, you know, from there.
Well, and then, to be fair, DJ and I think several other players also said on Twitter that he did not call him that.
I guess that's the part to me that didn't really need more explaining, because I felt like those players had been pretty, you know, DJ had been pretty upfront in his explanation about that. What was in question here was what level of accountability followed after, what level of, because again, Dabo talked about a lot of things over the course of this, but he said that there are two words that they don't tolerate around their facility. One is GD and the other is the N-word in all of this. And I will personally never be comfortable with a white person policing the N-word being said by black people. Like, that just Doesn't seem like your place. Not now, not ever. So that's kind of the non-starter for me in all this. But to be policing it, we heard about an incident where Dabo was showing a prospective defensive backs coach around, and he came into the locker room and there was, you know, music playing that was making use of that word in a way that he came down on some players about or wasn't happy about. I guess we're going to say the least on that. And so if you're going to display that level of displeasure when it comes up from a player, certainly when a white coach is the one saying the word, you would expect there to be more accountability than it seems like what they got in that situation, which was apparently an apology in private to that player, but nothing addressed to the team in that instance.
Well, according to the comments, Dabo said he wasn't even aware that it had happened.
Right, because it was on a separate field.
Yeah.
Didn't even, had not even known it happened until a player came up and told him about it. I mean, we were talking about this off air a little more of a broader conversation of sometimes of, it just seems overall, if I'm using the right verbiage, it seems like Dabo isn't aware or aware of some things or doesn't seem aware of some things and just kind of does, you know, the coaching thing. I don't have social media. I'm a football coach. I don't know what these shows are on TV. You know what? I kind of get that feel sometimes. Players, don't get me wrong. Players love him.
Yeah.
They love him. And at some point, should we say maybe that's all that matters is that he brings players into a program and players love the way they're treated there and love the way things go there. I'm sure not 100% of players, but it just seems like sometimes the out of touchness of a head coach on outside issues, it gets a little tired for me, I guess.
Well, it just gets convenient when football coaches decide that they are just football coaches or more than that, and they're teachers and all these other things that we tend to latch on and laud to coaches. The problem with this whole conversation around Dabo is any slight against him or any criticism of an action of his is seen by the people that defend him as an indictment of the entire man.
Right.
And obviously there are parts and comments that Dabo's made in the past about other things that I've certainly had disagreements with, and that's fine, but at the core of it, people keep going back to, you know, the pause program that people talk about that Dabo outlined
right
in the video, and, you know, the young men that have come up through Clemson's program and left on the other side better for it. Like, those things are, like, one doesn't mean the other. Because Dabo has fallen short in this situation in a way that is frustrating doesn't mean that all of the rest of those things aren't helpful. Doesn't mean that players don't know Dabo's character or don't know that he's for them in these situations. It just means that in this one spot, in a spot that has certainly, again, rapidly accelerated itself to the forefront of conversations for the larger portion of the world. Certainly black people have been talking about this and trying to get this out there. But we know the last couple of weeks have been different in a lot of ways. Dabo has fallen short in this spot. And when you are the coach that has done so much for guys in other areas of their life, and when you are the coach that prides yourself on being more than just a football coach in a lot of those instances, I think that makes it even, you know, even harder to swallow if you're a player looking at him and getting the answers you've gotten now, which unfortunately fall short in this area when it is someone that you value and respect like that.
Well, yeah, the whole incident came out with Danny Perriman when a former wide receiver, Kenyon Tuttle, put it out there on Twitter. And he also, that receiver once said, Dabo suggested that the players not participate in a 2016 sit-in on campus. And he also addressed that,
yeah,
apparently.
Dabo also addressed that in the video and said he never discouraged anyone from doing anything. He said he wanted to make the players aware that the minute they went out to that protest, his message was, if you're going to go out and protest, know exactly what it is you're going out there to protest. Be aware of that, because when you go out there, a Clemson football player being out there is going to garner more attention. You're going to be asked to be on the news and all these things. Now, you know, again, how you put that and how you phrase that in a meeting could go a long way into how it's received in all those, and that's certainly something that Dabo controls in a lot of that. So that was how he addressed that particular issue. Yes.
And then there was the issue, apparently he was wearing a shirt, it was photographed wearing a shirt that said "Football Matters" over the weekend, and he said any insinuation that I was trying to mock the Black Lives Matter movement is just an attack on my character. I wholeheartedly support Black Lives Matter. I don't think that's quite adequate enough because people, it's a shirt he's worn apparently forever.
Yes, the National Football Foundation has a program or a thing that they were doing, you know, about football matters.
Yeah, and Trevor Lawrence even came out and said that as well. I guess there's just, where's the awareness of where we are now? What sign you're seeing people holding up all the time, and then you're wearing something that says something different matters. And while the explanation I get, but I guess it comes back again to the awareness of, and that's where I think the days of, you know, because you're right. You can't have it both ways. You can't say, I'm a ball coach. I don't have, you know, my face or, you know, however they mess up the names on purpose to say, I'm not on social media. I'm just a football coach. But then you can't say you're a teacher of young men in life as well, because, you know, that's outside of football. You know, there has to be more than that. So I think we got to get past that a little bit, but you're right. As far as the good, I mean, we just had an example of that. It's Drew Brees, right?
Yeah.
Drew Brees does a ton of good. Where he has been and what he has done. But in this particular matter, there are those that felt he didn't understand the message. And Drew Brees even acknowledged that as well. So it's not a character assassination on the entire man, but that's sometimes how it's taken. Oh man, you start to sling one arrow at a guy the way he did something and you're assassinating his entire character. We definitely don't want to be going down that road.
No, well, I think the ultimate compliment is that people value you enough to care about what you say and be disappointed when they feel like you've fallen short. If Dabo was someone whose opinion wasn't valued by the people that played for him or wasn't valued by the people around there, this wouldn't resonate nearly as much, even though he is one of the biggest coaches in the country. But it's because of all that if you're a player, maybe you can look at this and say, all right, you know what? I like, we get so much from you in these other regards, and I'm able to count on you in so many other ways. In this area, I would just like you to listen and be willing to learn a little bit more. I think those things are all appropriate to say at once.
Yes, and I think that for the vast majority, and there's never 100% in any situation, especially when you're dealing with so many kids and a lot of them vying for playing time and they're not getting it. There's always going to be someone that is not 100% on board, but for the most part, it feels like Dabo's players do understand that he cares about them and that he has their best interests in mind, but they would just like a little more, perhaps, understanding on certain social situations.
Yeah, I mean, this is a big issue, especially with the large portion of the college football population that is black, that we know plays this game at that level, we know plays this game at Clemson, and so being aware and having an awareness of those is important when it comes to the issues of how that's dealt with within the team with a case like Coach Pierman, as you just mentioned, guys vying for playing time, guys in the power structure that we know exists in college football where it's difficult for players to speak up. Yep. And so Dabo in this instance and the coaching staff in this instance, you owe it to the players that are in your care to say, all right, yeah, we've heard from countless programs with Iowa. We heard Kirk Ferentz say that players currently in the program are less likely to speak up at certain times about those things. So what does that mean? That there is more responsibility on someone in Dabo who has been entrusted with these young lives that are coming on campus that he claims to be a molder of and all these things. When instances like that come up, you have got to punish and you have got to make sure there is accountability when someone steps over that line like a coach, because players, it's not like the NFL where a player can just stare you in the eye and say, no, I'm not messing with that. There's fear of lost playing time.
There's a power dynamic.
There's huge. All these things that go into that that make that a difficult prospect. And so, I guess that's the thing is, Dabo knows the responsibility that he has. Yeah. He displays it in so many other ways. And so in this spot, we expect that same level of dedication, that same level of it mattering, and at the very least, if it's something now that he's not aware of or it's something that he's not used to dealing with, a willingness to say, all right, I've got to better educate myself on this. I've got to have conversations with my players, which it sounds like he's having, and try and be better about the way that I deal with this going forward.
And we'll see how that plays out going forward. Meanwhile, we believe the NFL is going forward, and it looks like they're going to try and find a way to get to training camp at the end of the July calendar month, but we don't think one person is going to be there for one team, and that would be running back Dalvin Cook for the Minnesota Vikings, essentially saying he is not going to show up for any workouts without, quote, a reasonable extension. The Pro Bowl running back no longer will participate in any team-related activities. Of course, there are none at the moment. So basically what he's saying is I won't be showing up for training camp. Basically, our Adam Schefter, hearing from a source, he's out without a reasonable extension. He will not be showing up for training camp or beyond. As all of this, including the Dabo talk, is Straight Talk by Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. And the interesting thing about Dalvin Cook is the position that he plays.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's a running back. He's also a very productive running back. In fact, our fine research department, Bush, put together some very interesting numbers. The top five scrimmage yards per game last season. Christian McCaffrey was first. Dalvin Cook was second. Derrick Henry was third. Leonard Fournette was fourth. Now, Christian McCaffrey in 2020 just got a new contract. He'll be making $16 million. Derrick Henry, who is still going to be on the franchise tag, if nothing else, is going to make $10.3 million. Leonard Fournette is in one of the last years of his contract. He's going to make $6.3 million. And Dalvin Cook, as a second-round running back, is scheduled to make $1.6 million. So you can certainly understand from Dalvin Cook's perspective, hey, look at all these yards, and I'm behind only Christian McCaffrey. By the way, third ever 1,000-1,000 season last year, 1,000 yards rushing, 1,000 yards receiving, and only he's averaging more scrimmage yards per game than me, I should be making more money. And that is a reasonable assumption, especially when the Minnesota Vikings just threw an extra $30 million
at
Kirk Cousins this offseason when he had a guaranteed contract for a high number going into this season anyway. But are you going to pay it if you're the Minnesota Vikings because of the position?
And again, he's the last year of his deal. It was a second-round pick, so it's a four-year deal. He didn't have that option year to deal with, so next year would be his fourth year. Has not played a complete season yet in four games, 11 games, and last year 14 games. But in those 14 games, I mean, over 1,100 yards, 50 receptions, I believe as well, 53 receptions. So catches the ball out of the backfield. There is no doubt. He carries a load. And for a team that ran a little bit more than they passed last year, they do like the running game. And he has been a huge, huge part of that. But, I mean, we look at the top guys that got paid, but you also look at a guy like Melvin Gordon who tried to hold out while he was under contract and no go. He ended up, you know, basically going back losing that situation. Now, Minnesota definitely needs Dalvin Cook, but how far are they willing to go to try and keep him?
Yeah, it's tough because in the past I've always been like, well, you pay what you've got and how you're structured, right? Meaning when the Dallas Cowboys were paying Ezekiel Elliott at the time, they were structured as a team that had gone through him on their offense. They were getting ready to transition to the offense we saw last year that made much more use of Dak.
And now they're not going to pay Dak. It's crazy.
In a lot of this, which is wild, but we've seen this time and time again, and for Minnesota, the way that they've invested, it would look like they're a passing team, but we know the way Mike Zimmer operates. Like I jokingly said to someone yesterday, I feel like if Mike Zimmer could go down and hand Dalvin Cook quarterback money, he would, because that's how much the run game has meant to Zim over the last few years.
He fired an offensive coordinator for not running it enough.
Yeah, I mean, that is how much this aspect of football matters to the guy coaching this football team, so that's got to be factored into it, but man, I just don't know what about the recent trends in the running back market indicate that you're going to get anything. Like, you could end up getting a pay increase based on what you were going to make, but, and he didn't say he wanted a market setting contract or anything.
Said
like
reasonable.
That.
He said reasonable.
So what, I guess what does that look like now for a running back is maybe the thing we need to determine.
I mean, you look where the top ones are. How far down do you go till you get to $10 million a year, right? Because Christian McCaffrey went over that. We know other guys that are over that. Zeke's over that. Gurley had been over that. So is that a number? Is that a reasonable number for him? Because, you know, we can talk about the position, but then I think you have to throw in just what we've been talking about, the importance of that position to that team and that coach. And it seems to be very important to Minnesota to have that running game. And Dalvin Cook is the man there. Both running the ball, like I said, catches it out of the backfield as well, which is an added bonus, but he runs the ball extremely well, averaged 4.5 yards a carry last year. So that position may be deemed a little more important in Minnesota under this current coaching staff than maybe some other teams may value it.
It's just interesting because you look at the way they've paid out on this team, and if you're giving all of this guaranteed money to Kirk Cousins over the last however many years, you would think a lot more of the offense would be going that route, and especially what they've had at the wide receiver spot. Obviously, no more Stephon Diggs, but everything you had with Adam Thielen there, the tight end room that you've got there, certainly other weapons that you've added this offseason there, it seems like it's primed to be an offense that doesn't have to work through the running game, but we know what it looked like last season for them. It's not like we have to go back to far that find that.
I was with you. And obviously you can make the same case for Derrick Henry, who's also on that list that I just talked about. I mean, no one was doing the running back thing better than Derrick Henry. And yet he finds himself looks like going into this season. I mean, we haven't heard any movement.
No.
About a contract, a long-term contract between the Tennessee Titans. And we're getting close to 30 days out. I mean, July 15th is the deadline.
You know, and then you risk if you don't give him a new deal, if he sits out and doesn't play, I mean, then where do you go? Have you burned all your bridges there where he doesn't come back? Now you could tag him if you want, but I guess if he doesn't play all season, you know, you don't get the season. So I doubt it would go that far to it. Yeah. Again, this is where we go. Do we see a guy actually sit out an entire season? He made it sound like I'm not going back unless there's a reasonable offer on the table.
Reasonable is such an interesting
reasonable word. Reasonable is an interesting word.
To me, when you say reasonable, it sounds like okay, but just give me a little taste.
Yeah.
Right? That's what it sounds like to me. I'm hearing from Dalvin Cook. Like, you better. Just a little something.
Come on, sweeten the pot.
Sweeten the pot a little bit.
Yeah,
right?
I was going to say, meet me halfway on here because we had heard in the past from other guys that I wanted to be a market setter when it came to Le'Veon and some of these guys coming out. They had the whole position in mind. Reasonable sounds a little bit different.
Totally agree. And the Derrick Henry one I find much more fascinating.
Oh, yeah.
He did the thing, and he might not get the money he wants because of the thing he was doing it at the position he was doing it at. Coming up, much more on Major League Baseball and what's going on with whether or not there'll be a season.